jump into this real fast because we are winding up. So this might be a good thing for you guys. We got two more weeks, and you know, we've been talking about this belonging and all this for quite some time. And you know, and last week I think we hit like a nice, like we were ramping up to a nice spot. And now I'm going to push you off the cliff.
That's all right.
Well, here, you know what, let's, good. I mean, I think we've been talking about sort of changing our mindset in terms of just who we are as people, how we want to interact with each other, and really what God's called us to do, and how we should interact as a church body. So we left off last week just starting to talk about fellowship. And before we get to that, I need to read this to you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. In the Good News Translation, it says, "Now the important thing is that your way of life should be as the gospel of Christ requires, so that whether or not I am able to see you, I will hear that you are standing firm with one common purpose, and that with only one desire you are fighting together for the faith of the gospel." For the faith of the gospel. So when we talk about fellowship, it really is about, it's a community event, it's a communal event, fellowship. And the reason why fellowship is important, because without fellowship, there is no church.
That's right.
Without fellowship, there is no church.
Yes.
Now, we've already established that the church is this collection of people. So when we talk about fellowship, we are literally talking about the people.
That's right.
We are talking about you and you and you and you and you and all of you. And we'll spend this Sunday and next Sunday really talking about this fellowship piece, because it really puts a nice end cap on everything that we're talking about.
Yes.
So when we talk about fellowship, we have to look at it in three parts. So the first part, and the executive pastor was talking about this earlier today, about fellowship with God.
Yes.
So we have to talk about what our fellowship with God looks like. Two, we have to talk about what our fellowship in service to others looks like. And three, we have to finally talk about our fellowship with each other. So let me give you a little, I'll give you a little definition of all three of these, and then we'll talk about one in particular. So let's start with the first one. Fellowship with God is the relationship with God can be disrupted by sin, yet established through Jesus Christ, which provides the only proper basis for true human fellowship. It's the only way that you should exist, is through your relationship with God. God desires to fellowship with us, as evidenced by his desire to call everyone back to his holy family, and also to reflect his holiness and love. So that's the reason why he wants to fellowship with you.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, Lord, okay, I like it. He said fellowship and service. Now, what does this mean? A partnership in a common enterprise. God's people are called to work together, especially in the task of the mission, and to recognize one another's gifts and to give support to one another's ministries. So when we talk about fellowship, we have to talk about our fellowship with God, and how we're going to fellowship in our service to our community, to others, to believers. And thirdly, right here, we're going to talk about our fellowship with each other, which is relationships. Sharing with each other as a result of their common union with God through Jesus Christ. This is evidenced by worshiping together in a love for one another, which reflects God's own love, and in a practical commitment to one another. A practical commitment to one another. Now, that's going to take you guys a lot to get on board with that idea. I can tell already. That's okay. But that's okay. We'll leave that until next Sunday. But something interesting happened here today in church, and well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, so let me not do that. So when we talk about fellowship, we need to talk about standing together. We need to talk about our relationship with God. We need to talk about actually putting that relationship with God and our standing together through adversity, through whatever you like, into service to help serve someone else. So fellowship is important.
Yes.
Without it, the entire system falls apart.
That's right.
It falls apart. So we often have this adversarial relationship with fellowship, as evidenced by attendance at church functions. Oh man. Did we really want to go there? Yeah, we did. Fellowship with God is the blueprint on which how we should operate with each other. So if I look at the way you fellowship, I can automatically tell the way you relate to God. So your fellowship with each other is an actual reflection of your day-to-day relationship with God. So if you don't fellowship with each other, then you clearly aren't fellowshipping with God. Now that's tough, because nobody likes to hear that, but it's actually true. See, we want to have God without the people, and it's actually impossible to do that. You can't be an army of one. You actually have to be together. So let's go. Boy, that got quiet. Now, here's, listen. I'm just going to be completely honest with you, because that's the only way to be, right? Fellowship for me is difficult. Tough. Because I am naturally averse to people. Like, this is just me. My wife will tell you. I thank God every day that she's still married to me. And it's important that we understand that without this sort of engine running in our lives, your life as a Christian is going to be miserable, that most miserable. So let's go to Colossians chapter 2 real fast. And we're going to read verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, and then we're going to hop down to 6 and 7. So Colossians chapter 2 says, "For my concern is that their hearts may be braced, comforted, cheered, and encouraged as they are knit together in love, that they may come to have all the abounding wealth and blessings of assured conviction of understanding, and that they may become progressively more intimately acquainted with and may know more definitely and accurately and thoroughly the mystic secret of God, which is Christ the Anointed One. In him all the treasures of divine wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and all the riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden." Like, okay, "I say this in order that no one may mislead and delude you by plausible and pervasive and attractive arguments and beguiling speech." It's like, listen, you are going to have to get to this point where we are all together as one. Without me loving you, then my Christian experience is flawed. It's not really worth the time or the effort if I can't share my life with you, or if you can't share your life with me, or vice versa. It's like, understand, I want you to experience all that I have. All that I have, so that you can share it with someone else. But before you can get to the sharing part, you have to first come and see me. What's your relationship with me like? He said, what is your relationship with me? He said, I want you to know intimately who I am, what I can do for you, and how easy it is for me to bless you beyond measure. So Colossians here is telling you, said, listen, I need to encourage you so that you have a true intimate knowledge of God himself. Because I want to receive all of those hidden mysteries. I want to walk in abundant prosperity. I want all of those things. I believe we all do, right? I mean, so ultimately, it's going to take you finding out for yourself what that really means. Verse 6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourself in union with and conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving." Now, we saw some overflowing of thanksgiving today. Yes. And what we're seeing right here is that God wants to establish you, and it's only going to be established by you seeking him out. So if we want to learn how to fellowship as a body, we have to learn how to fellowship with God first. And he is sitting here begging, pleading, waiting, expecting you to come and see about him. We sang the song today, "I'm a friend of God." But are you really? I mean, he's your friend. I have some folks, I'll talk about me. I have some folks in my life that, great friends. At least I feel like I'm a great friend to them. You know, hey, man, can you help me? Sure, no problem. I got you. But oftentimes, these are one-sided relationships. Where it's like, oh, hey, if I call Dave, I know that he'll stop what he's doing.
Yep.
He'll come and help me out. He might sign me a few shekels. He might bring me some food. He might let me borrow a car, like anything. You know, and that happens, and it's like, oh, yeah, no problem. You know, is that a really good friendship? I don't know. Maybe we'll examine that later. But that's how we treat God. Like, it's not like, hey, how you doing? It's just like, hey, I need something. Huh. Something to think about. Just something to think about. You know, and the thing that you'll see here is that when you have a true relationship with God, you'll see actually his presence will be upon you, with you all the time, wherever you go. You can tell when folks, you know, when folks haven't been in the Word long enough, or they haven't been there at all. You know, they're down, they're dragging, or just things just aren't going your way. Like, I can personally tell when I have not spent enough time. Because
right.
I'm a horrible human being. Horrible. Terrible, terrible person. When I have not been reading that word. When I have neglected my friendship with God. And so many times as believers, we come into the building here and we've neglected our time with God. So therefore, we neglect each other because there's nothing in it for me.
Right.
At this point, I'm not showing you love. I don't even know how to do that. I'm just too miserable.
Yeah.
I can't fellowship with you. I don't want to build anything with you because I haven't spent time enough with God to understand what I actually should be doing. So I'm going to read off a couple of verses for you that's going to show you just some examples of how God is with his people. So Leviticus 26 and 12, Ezekiel 25 and 8, and 1 Kings 8 and 29 will show you how God fellowships with the people. Said, and we need this, we need this, we need this. It's so important because if we don't fellowship with God, then how do you know what actually belongs to you? If you don't fellowship with God, how do you know what is really due you? If you don't fellowship with God, how can you love someone else if he is not teaching you how to live? Now, we read the verses here. It's like, pattern your life after God's word. But how can you pattern your life after God's word if you don't know what God's word is? How can you be expected to bring people into the family if you don't know how to do that? So that's the reason why we're spending so much time on this fellowship piece right here. So because you have to get your relationship with God right first. Thank you, sir. Let's go to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 23. And we're reading this in the Message Bible. It says, because of a loveless world, said Jesus, it is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him. We'll move right into the neighborhood. Not loving means not keeping my words. The message you are hearing isn't mine. It's the message of the Father who sent me. Huh. Love me, keep my teachings, and my Father will love them, and we will come and we will make our dwelling place with you. Here is an interesting thing here. It says, we will come and dwell with you just by loving. It said, if you pattern your life after the way God loves you and you love everyone else and you spend time with them, it said, I'll literally come down here. And the interesting part, it wasn't just him. He says, we.
Yeah.
We will come and dwell with you.
Yeah.
Now, would you like God and his son to come and dwell with you?
Yeah.
There's no downside to that, right?
Right.
That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, there it is. I got the smile. I was waiting on it. So, if this is the case, then why aren't we experiencing this all the time?
Yeah.
Without spending time, it's difficult for the dwelling to take place. We have to establish and examine our fellowship with God so we can properly fellowship with each other. We have created church environments where fellowship doesn't include other fellows. I'm just going to let that linger. out there. Because it's true. True fellowship with God fosters relationships and community with your other fellow believers. Fellowship with God is inseparable from fellowship with each other. That's what true fellowship is. So we can't say, yes, Lord, I love you. I give myself to you. Right? We sang that today, give myself away?
Yeah.
And do all that stuff. But then refuse to spend time with the people. Now, I believe in Matthew, it says where two or three are gathered.
Yeah.
In my name, I'll be in the midst.
Yes, that's right.
Said, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be there.
Yeah.
But it's going to require willing participants.
Yeah.
You got to gather. We talked about last week about fellowship is actually the gathering of all the bricks to build God's edifice. Said so he wants to be in the midst of everything that we do. And we refuse to allow him in because we refuse to share our experience with our brother or sister. Because we want the ship without the fellow. I want all that you can give to me, God. Fill my barge. Fill it up. Bless me to be a blessing. That's bursting and new wines and all of that stuff. But I am not willing to do what's required. I'm not willing to share this experience with you. I'm not even willing to love you. In fact, I'm not even willing to talk to you. But I still want everything from God. That's how we have been operating for so long. Because church is a communal experience. I'll show you in a little bit if you don't believe me. In fact, what happened today in church is exactly what's supposed to happen every time we gather. Now, I'll show you that in a little bit, and it'll blow your mind. I got 10 minutes. So, throughout this week, you know, after today, just maybe, take some time to examine your fellowship with God. Real fast, let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Let me get to my version that I need. There we go. It says, for wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers into my name, there I am in the midst of them. It said, drawn together as my followers. Drawn together as my followers. This statement speaks a lot to me because we have churches where people are gathered, but not all of them are his followers. So that's why you don't see the move of God all the time. Because he's not there. Because there aren't true followers gathered. Now, today was awesome. So I'm like, all right. Maybe we're getting it. Maybe we understand exactly what this whole life experience is supposed to be about. I'm like, you know what? I love it. This is what happened here today. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 and I'm actually going to read this to you. Let me see. Media, I told you Message Bible, but I want to actually read this in the Amplified. It says, we are writing about the word of life in him who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard, whom we have seen with our own eyes, whom we have gazed upon for ourselves, and have touched with our own hands. And I'm like, okay. And the life and aspect of his being was revealed, made manifest, and demonstrated, and we saw as eyewitnesses, and are testifying to you and declare to you the life, the eternal life in him, who already existed with the Father, who actually was made visible and was revealed to us, his followers. What we have seen and ourselves heard, we are also telling you, so that you too may realize and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. And this fellowship that we have, which is a distinguishing mark of Christians, is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ the Messiah. Huh. And we are now writing these things so that our joy in seeing you included may be full and that your joy may be complete. Now, the message says, we saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you, so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too, so that your joy will double our joy. The whole point of fellowship is for you to come in and tell me about your experience. So now, when I hear what God has done for you, it makes me happy.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Bless you. Pray to prosper. Think about that for a second. So the whole point of fellowship is to gather together so that we can actually see the word of life in action. I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right. I like where you're going with that. He said, fellowship with God allows you to fellowship with the people, because when you spend time with God, it allows you to tap into the gift that he has placed inside you. Amen. And it is the gift that is placed inside you that will ignite the gift that's inside of me.
That's right.
So you today, allowing God to move through you, ignited the gift there,
right,
and there,
right,
and there, and there, and there. Yes. And it catches like wild fire.
That's right.
Yeah. So fellowship with God will prime you so that when you walk into this building here, we ignite each other.
Thank you, Lord. That's right. Yeah.
So don't tell me that you don't have time to fellowship, because the gift that's inside of you, I need.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It may take the gift inside of you to save my life.
That's right.
Sounds good. Yes.
It will certainly take the gift that is inside you to maybe save her life or your life.
That's right.
You have no idea what's buried deep inside of you that I'm going to need. You have no idea, seeing you here today, what it did for me. You have no idea. I can't even begin to articulate it, just seeing your face. So when you say that you don't have time to fellowship, what you're saying is that my life's not worth it. You don't have time to fellowship. You're saying to me that, you know what, nobody else matters. Wow. To not fellowship is the most selfish act you as a believer could do, because you literally are disconnecting the gift that God gave you to help someone else.
Right.
If not for nothing, I need all of you. And if you don't know this or not, you need me too.
That's right.
So, it's not exciting. It won't make you run around, but it will cut you deep into your heart. Because at some point, your fellowship with God has to get to the point where I can count on you no matter what. When I think about the amount of believers that have gone on to glory that should not have been there because we didn't do our job. We started talking about this 4 weeks ago, that this is a place where people come to get fixed. This is the place where people come to get healed. This is the place where people come to get delivered. But what happens if they show up here and the people charged with doing that sit on their hands? So when it talks about fail not to assemble yourselves together, it's not about I just want to see your face. It's not about I need a collection plate to get full. Failing to assemble yourselves means that you are not priming the pump and charging that battery that's going to save someone else.
That's right.
That's the reason why I need you here.
Yes.
That's the reason why he needs you here. It's like fellowship is so important because it literally drives the body of Christ.
Yes.
Without it, the body is ineffective.
Yes.
Because God himself, he's not coming down here and physically laying hands on you.
No.
He needs human hands to do these things right here.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But you're too concerned about, you know, your feelings. You can't fellowship with God outside of the people. Because that's the reason why fellowship is needed. So think about this the next time that service is open. Think about it the next time that there is an event after church. Think about it when the singles get together. Think about when the married folks get together. Think about it when the men's group gets together, when the women's group gets together. Just think about what you could be doing in those meetings. So it's not just let's get together.
No.
It's about let's do some serious work when we are together.
Right.
Because when you fellowship together, it says, hey, we're doubling our joy, right? When we fellowship together, we are knitting each other together with love.
Yeah.
Said, I love you. I love you so much that I'm willing to share the gift that God gave to me.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that gift is, but I'm willing to share it with you.
Right.
Because I'm waiting for the opportunity for him just to explode outside of me.
Right.
That's fine. But we have to get to that point where we understand that that's what we were called to do.
Right. That's right.
We weren't called to look cute on Sunday. We were called to do so much more.
Yeah.
We weren't called to hold a title or a position. We were called to change lives.
Yes.
We were called to fellowship with each other so we can set the world, literally set the world on fire.
Yes. Right.
See, we want to get to that Acts 2 experience where 3,000 people were added to the church daily, and every time they gathered, more people came.
Yes.
Every time they got together, the word was spoken, the word of life became real. And evidence followed,
right.
And people joined the church daily.
That's right.
But guess what? Before you get to that point, all of those folks decided that, yes, God, we'll do what you say. And yes, I love all of you. And yes, I am secure enough to give away every single thing that I have in service of you. Now, that sounds like communism, but it's commonism. Like, we have a common goal.
That's right.
We have a common goal.
Yeah.
Serving the Lord, spreading the gospel of the good news, and bringing more people into the family. But before we get to that point, we have to get ourselves together first.
That's right.
Thank you, sir. So, this week, when you are in those quiet times, and when you're by yourself, and, you know, when it's just you in your prayer closet, whatever you want to call it, say, Lord, show me where I'm missing it.
Yeah.
Show me where I am not being fully engaged. Show me exactly where I need to do a little bit better. We talked about having an intimate knowledge of God. I want to say John talks about examining the height, length, depth, breadth of God. When are you going to do that? When are you going to actually come and see me? When are you going to come and see me and spend some time and not just be an acquaintance, but an actual friend?
That's right.
Stand to your feet. Ephesians 2:19-22 says, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. This is where you belong. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We'll see it take shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. All of us together. It will take all of us together. All of us together, utilizing the gifts that he has given to us to build this house where God lives. I want God to live here.
Yes.
Not just sometime, but all the time.
Yes.
And we have to set the occasion for that to happen. Mm-hmm. We have to set the occasion for that to happen.
Yes.
All of us fitted together in this glorious edifice.
Yes.
Allowing God to have the run of the place. So I guess we got some work to do. I guess so. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you praise and we give you glory. And we give you all of the honor. Lord, I thank you for this word that you've given to us today. Thank you for outlining what we should be doing on a daily basis. Lord, forgive us for every time that our fellowship with you wasn't just right. Forgive us for every time we shirked our duties or we decided to do something different other than spend time with you. Lord, we are standing here establishing our fellowship, our relationship with you. We want to know more of you, Lord. We want to experience all that you have for us. But Lord, we want to know everything about you. We want to expand and explore your character, your personality,
yes,
your love, your grace, your mercy that you have for us. We want it all. We want it all. Yes. We are standing here today with open hearts, Lord, giving you the run of our heart.
Yes.
Thank you for allowing us to be stitched together so that we can build a temple,
Lord,
for you, a place where you dwell, not just here in this building, but in our hearts. Connected, each one of us connected heart to heart, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank for how you're going to continue to watch over and bless us as we leave this place, but not your presence. Lord, continue to watch over us, watch over our families, our extended families, our acquaintances. Lord, let your light shine out through us so that we can bring more people into your kingdom. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for making this a place for everyone. We thank you, Lord, and we call it all done, and in Jesus' name and through his blood, we say amen,
amen,
amen, and amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like to support this ministry, consider giving online. Text keyword RWOLFC to 77977 or through our free app. Search R Wolf C in the App Store. For more information, visit www.rwolfc.com for articles, blog posts, message references, and our monthly calendar of events.